He reached for the handle. He said, in a very weak voice, "Ook," and then sneezed. The pile of clothing settled. When the wizards pulled it away, they found underneath a very large, thick book bound in hairy red leather.
"Says Ook on the cover," said the senior wrangler after a while, in a rather strained voice.
"Does it say who it's by?" said the dean.
"Bad taste, that man.
I meant that maybe it'd be his real name."
"Can we look inside?" said the chair of indefinite studies. "There may be an index."
Any volunteers to look inside the librarian?" said Ridcully. "Don't all shout."
"The morphic instability responds to the environment," said Ponder. "Isn't that interesting? He's near the library, so it turns him into a book. Sort of protective camouflage, you could say. It's as if he evolves to fit in with..."
"Thank you, Mr. Stibbons. And is there a point to this?"
"Well, I assume we can look inside," said Ponder. "A book is meant to be opened. There's even a black leather bookmark, see?"
"Oh, that's a bookmark, is it?" said the chair of indefinite studies, who had been watching it nervously.
Ponder touched the book. It was warm, and it opened easily enough. Every page was covered with Ook.
"Good dialogue, but the plot is a little dull."
"Dean, I'd be obliged if you'd take this seriously, please," said Ridcully. He tapped his foot once or twice.
"Anyone got any more ideas?"
The wizards stared at one another and shrugged.
"I suppose," said the lecturer in recent runes.
"Yes, runes? Arnold, isn't it?"
"No, Arch-Chancellor.
Well, out with it anyway."
"I suppose. I know this sounds ridiculous, but..."
"Go on, man, we're almost all agog."
"I suppose there's always... Rincewind."
Ridcully stared at him for a moment.
"Skinny fella, scruffy beard, bloody useless wizard. Got that box on legs thingy?"
"That's right, Arch-Chancellor. Well done. He was the deputy librarian for a while, as I expect you remember."
"Not really, but do go on," he said.
"In fact, he was here when the librarian became the librarian, and I remember once, when we were watching the librarian stamping four books all at the same time, he said, 'Amazing, really, when you think he was born in Ankh-Morpork.' I'm sure if anyone knows the name of the librarian, it's Rincewind."
Well, go and fetch him then. I suppose you do know where he is, do you?"
"Technically, yes, Arch-Chancellor," said Ponder quickly, "but we're not sure quite where the place where he is, if you follow me."
Ridcully gave him another stare.
"You see, we think he's on XXXX, Arch-Chancellor," said Ponder.
XX,
Arch-Chancellor."
"I thought no one knew where that place was," said Ridcully.
"Exactly, Arch-Chancellor," said Ponder.
Sometimes you had to turn facts in several directions until you found the right way to fit them into Ridcully's head. Sometimes Ponder thought his skill with Hex was because Hex was very clever and very stupid at the same time. If you wanted it to understand something, you had to break the idea down into bite-sized pieces and make absolutely sure there was no room for any misunderstanding. The quiet hours with Hex were often a picnic after 5 minutes with the senior wizards.
"What's he doing there?"
"We don't really know, Arch-Chancellor. If you remember, we believe he ended up there after that Agatean business."
"What did he want to go there for?"
I don't think he actually wanted to," said Ponder. "We sent him. It was a trivial error in bilocational thaumaturgy that anyone could make."
But you made it, as I recall," said Ridcully, whose memory could spring nasty surprises like that.
"I am a member of the team, sir," said Ponder, pointedly.
Well, if he doesn't want to be there, and we need him here, let's bring him back.
The rest of the sentence was drowned out, not by a noise, but by a sort of bloom of quietness.